Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
But if you read Psalm 119, as I said, you'll see that the psalmist has a great adoration, and he really puts his trust in God's word. He realizes that it is a light unto his path, and it is a lamp unto his feet. It is where he finds his joy in different places you'll see through there, and that he is, regardless of what he finds himself going through, he will stick to God's word and to his testimonies. And we know, of course, that we believe that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe in the life that the word gives, and I'm thankful for it today. We are born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, the word of God. And so we can't ever minimize God's word in our walk. We must have that. You can have great service without any preaching, but it would just be service. But if you're going to be fed, and if you're going to be changed, and really if you're going to be saved, you're going to have preaching. For God chose the foolishness of preaching to save people. And also, how could we even have faith without the word? Because faith comes by hearing. We know that hearing comes by God's word. And so we need the preaching of God's word in our life so that we can be fed, so that we can be strengthened, so that we can be born again, practically so that we can live. And, of course, this is something that the psalmist here already knows. He is making a statement here of his knowledge and understanding when he says, open my eyes so I can behold wondrous things out of the law, out of thy law. In other words, there are wondrous things in your word, in your law, and I know it, so I don't want to miss it. How many feels like that today? I don't want to miss what God's got for me. And many times we talk about that in reference to church and service. Man, don't miss service. That's the way we were brought up, man. Don't ever miss a church service because you don't know what you'll miss. And it never failed. If you missed service that day, when everybody got out, you would get a phone call. There were 48 angels walking the aisles. You know, it would be like the most incredible thing that ever happened, and you were home, or you were on vacation, or you were, had to work, or something happened. So we would not miss church because we just knew that something tremendous was going to happen. And that's a whole nother thing. I'd never wanted to miss what God was going to do. But if we don't have that word, we miss a lot of things. And the psalmist here saying, I need you, Lord, to open my eyes so I can see the wondrous things that are in your word, that are in your law. There are things contained in this book that we have, these 66 books that make up the Bible that we read. There are things in there that affect every part of our life. And the reason that we say life is so good, living for God, is because there are exceeding great and precious promises given to us in this book, in this word. That's why the psalmist would record the very opening psalm of that book. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, he begins to go through and talk about this blessed man, but it says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You know, that's something, because daytime, a lot of times in Scripture, we refer to day as when things are going good and night as to when things are going bad. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so we like the day seasons and not the night seasons. But God is even working in the night seasons, and he's giving you really some very valuable information there. He says, when it's a night season, don't forget God's word. There is something contained in his word. Don't let the night put you to sleep, but meditate on that word even in the night season. There may be tears in the night season. It may be it may be very dark and scary in the night season. There's a lot of unknown in the night season, but God's word is a light unto my path. It's a lamp to my feet. The entrance of his word brings light, illumination. And so when you're in a night season and you need a little illumination, that's why you don't stop meditating on the word, or you don't forsake the word, because things get dark, but you understand there's something contained in his word that will get you through that night season. And this psalmist understood. He said, I want my eyes open, Lord. We know, again, we walk by faith, not by sight. I get that, but he's not talking about just natural things. He's saying, when I'm looking at this word, when I am reading this and then bringing this word in, then I want to see what you're saying. The word wondrous, of course, can mean wonderful. If you look this word up, it's actually a lot of applications, but marvelous, wonderful, but it also means things that are too high or difficult. And it doesn't mean that it's hard on us, but sometimes there are things that are hard to be understood. Peter would say Paul has a habit of that. He likes to teach us things and write things to us that are hard to be understood sometimes. And there are things sometimes when we read, I don't get that. And that's what this man is dealing with. He said, I want to see these things that are too difficult for my natural mind to comprehend. So I want to you to feed my spirit with this word. The spirit will search the deep things of God. And so, Lord, lead me by your spirit in this word and show me the wonderful, marvelous things that are maybe too high for me naturally to understand. Show me these things that are in your word, because I know they're there. They've got to be there. And many times the scripture says his ways are higher than our ways. They are. But he never said his ways couldn't be understood. Deuteronomy 8, 10, and 11, this is just three examples. He told the people, walk in his ways. Well, why would he tell us to walk in his ways if we can't know his ways? We have to understand that he wants us. Some of his ways are hard for our carnal mind, can't get it. And we can't understand sometimes, but through prayer and meditation and spending time with God, Scripture will begin to open up. There was a time when Jesus, the Word made flesh, at the end of the book of Luke, it says, he opened their understanding. He began to open Scripture up to them so they could understand that this was already written for me to go through these things and to suffer and to die and to rise again on the third day. These things were already written, and he had to open their understanding to the Scripture. And God will do that for us, and we can see when you spend time in God's Word like that, you realize that living for God is more than just showing up on Sunday, clapping my hands a little bit, being part of a congregation. But there are so many things in this Word that feed my life and that guide my life and that help me understand that this life is worth living. When we read here, it's instruction about, it's not just, hey, this is what the Word says, this is what you can't do. Because that's the way a lot of people view the Bible, as it's just a bunch of rules. It's a book full of rules telling me what I can't do. Well, it don't force you to do anything, but it will tell you what will keep you safe, and it will tell you what will bless you and what will help you and what will encourage you and what will bring you joy and peace and comfort in the midst of storms, in the times of trials and tests. Friend, you can read this book and realize that I may come down with some sort of sickness, but God is the healer of all my diseases. Yeah? Or you may get into a situation, but then you realize that, hey, God is a deliverer, or something comes against you, but then you have a promise that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And that's why you continue in this life for God, because the Word contains something wonderful and something marvelous and something that your carnal mind could not even comprehend. You couldn't even get it. I don't even understand how that happens. That's why it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is a peace of God that passeth understanding. There's so many times that the people can't understand why you just keep on going with God. It's because you know that that life without Him or without His Word is much worse. It might be bad, but it could be worse. We're about to throw you off in a fiery furnace. That's bad, but it could be worse. I could burn up. But because I trust the Lord, I'm going to walk around in the fire. I'm going to come out of this thing. I'm going to just step into promotion. I'm going to step into blessing, because I would not worship anything else. I would not bow to anything else. I just kept on serving God, example after example. That's why we have a great cloud of witnesses. But he said, to be like them, you got to look at Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author. What does an author deal in? Words. He's the author of the book. He's the author of our life, and the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith through the Word. All of it comes back to the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we know that our God, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And even the apostles would write and say, we handled this Word of life, and it was there for us. And today, we can be like this psalmist, and just as we read, pray. Just flop the book open and start reading sometimes. But God, show me what you're saying in this verse. I don't want to just read something and it not apply or stick, because nothing in this book is just in there randomly. All scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed this Word. This is the Word of God. It is not just, hey, let's add a few pages in here to fill it up. Let's don't stop at 64 books. Let's make it 66. It was 66 books because God said so. I've got to believe that it's God's Word, that it's His divine Word. And I know translations of things, and so it's good to study the Word so you can go back and see what was really written in the earliest translations and things like that. It might sound boring to some, but really a word study when you're reading the Scripture is actually very exciting when you begin to see the things that God has in His Word, and He's opening your eyes to these wondrous things that are in the Word of God. In Psalm 100, and I believe it's 119 and 3, we're talking about His ways are higher and you can't be there, but it says there are people who walk in His ways. They walk in His ways. Well, we walk by faith, and faith comes by the Word. So we can walk in the ways of God when we apply the Word to our life. But sometimes we need to pray and say, God, just open my eyes. I don't want to miss, what's happening here. I don't want to miss this moment. I want to make sure. I don't want to be blind to the wonderful promises that are in your Word. And if I can't see them, then I can't live them. I need to see what you're saying. It's a shame today that people can't see how good they have it living for God. As a pastor, you see this tragedy happen. Sometimes it breaks your heart, because you see when people begin to drift, and you see when people begin to pull back, and when people get ready to start walking away, and they just don't understand. They cannot see. There's something at their eyes or on something else. Something else has caught their gaze. And now, we used to sing the old song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And I wish today that people would just do that. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep looking at Him. Keep staring into His Word. Keep looking at the promises that God has for you, because if something else catches your eye, it can lead you astray, lead you on other paths. And so many times I've watched people with so much potential and so many good things that are about to hit their life, and I watch them turn and walk off or walk out or walk away, and it's like they can't see how good they really have it because they don't spend that time in that Word day and night. In the daytime, it was easy to rejoice over the promises, but at night, it was just too hard for them. They wouldn't do that in the night seasons, and because they wouldn't, they would listen to other voices, because faith does come by hearing, and sometimes faith gets misplaced because it's listening to the wrong voice. Yeah, there can be a negative faith too. Faith, there's that faith that we have that comes from God, that God has given us through His Word, but the enemy will try to sow a wicked faith into his people with that Word, with lies and things of discouragement, and people don't realize it, but they're actually placing faith in the negative. They're believing those negative comments and negative words and negative feelings, and they're just giving into those things. And so there is a faith operating there, but it's a negative faith. I don't want that. I want faith in God, faith in His Word, faith to know that I can live and be blessed and be taken care of, and God's got some great promises for me. Yeah, and the thing is it's for all of us. It's for whosoever will. Well, that promise is only for those that are, that are really good. But the promises are for us all. The promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen, and therefore every one of us. And so if I want these blessings, I want these wonderful things, I want a wonderful life, and I can find it in His Word. So God, open my eyes. Let me see the things, these kind of things. Don't let me ignore or read past them. Let me realize now what a wonderful life I can have because of the wondrous things that are in Your Word. And that's, I don't want to, we do this every year, and it's good because a lot of people have never read the Bible through, so we do the bread chart. But if you're not careful, you're just speed reading so you can check the box and say, I finished that today. But you need to spend time reading slowly. Sometimes one or two verses will just blow your mind. It doesn't have to be the whole passage. You can read one or two verses and you're like, I cannot believe I have missed this all this time. But when you slow down and you've read in different places, you realize that the Word is here a little, there a little, and it starts connecting together. And I read something like this in the New Testament. You go there and you say, it lines up perfectly with this in the Old Testament. That's right. Because God had a plan for it all along. And it's such a blessing to read from one book to the other and go back and forth and take time to meditate. You know, we used to tell people, some kids, they always try to tell you, don't swallow, you're just swallowing your food, chew it, you know. And sometimes people are just trying to swallow it. But take time and chew it a little bit. Get the full flavor, get the full effect of, get everything there you want, because I don't want to someone to say of my life, well, you've heard this old saying, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. I don't want that to be applied to my life. I don't want to, after it's away. The prodigal son was like that. He thought he had it all. He tried to take things from God's house and go out to the world with it, but it wouldn't work in the world. And so when he was depleted, he then realized, wow, in my Father's house, even the servants have plenty to eat. If I just would have stayed home, he realized, of course, thank God for mercy and grace and being able to come back. But I guarantee you, nobody wants those rough years. Nobody wants those years of the hog pen. Nobody wants those years of famine. You don't want to have to go through that. And that's why the Word gives us these examples, so we can avoid the pitfalls that others have made. You know, benefit from the experience of others. There is a great cloud of witnesses. And some of them witness, hey, this is what happens when you turn your back. This is what happens when you try to run. You find yourself in the belly of a fish. You know, and guess what? People, that would be pretty cool. He said it wasn't cool. He said it was like hell. Yeah. Oh, man, in a fish, if you knew you wouldn't die, wouldn't digest, wouldn't it be cool to go in the bottom of the ocean of fish? No, it would not be. It would not be cool at all. Fish smell bad enough from the outside. What do you think fish smells like from the inside? And he said, I'm in the depths of hell, I cried out. And then he got vomited up onto the beach. Nothing cool about a fish ride. But that's the thing, is the Word is teaching us and showing us, hey, avoid these terrible pitfalls. That's one of the wonderful things of God's Word, is I don't ever have to go to the belly of the fish. I can just sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, I can be like Mary, and so I found something that won't be taken away. I found something. She wanted to hear that Word. We can say, well, I want to be so busy that everybody knows I'm taking care of everybody. And then you're mad at the people that are learning from God's Word. Martha, come on. Take a seat. Nobody's starving here. I'm the main attraction. I'm here to teach people. I'm sure she was a good cook, but they're not here for your bread. They're here for this bread of life. And that's what Mary wanted, and that's what I want, because there's wonderful things to be learned. They were hearing things when he came and walked and talked and began to teach. They would say, we have never heard it like this. But he was only teaching things that they had been listening to in the synagogue for hundreds of years. Things that they had heard. Oh, no, because he would say, have you not read? They would start questioning him, have you not read? I mean, just calling them out. Have you not heard? You know, what? Yeah, we have, but you know what happened? Their eyes were not open to it. But this man said, I want my eyes to be open to these things. I want my eyes to be ready to see the things that God has for me. So don't let this just be another book, because it is the Word of the living God. Open my eyes, Lord. I've mentioned some of this already, but you know, when we think of the Word, we know that Christ, the Word made flesh. In Revelation, he has that banner he wears, Word of God. He is the Word that was made flesh. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the Word. He is the light of the world, because the Word brings light. He said, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. He came that we might have life more abundantly, and his life comes through those words. And we are complete in him, who's not only the head of all principality and power, but he is the Word. You're not going to ever be complete without the Word. It just don't happen. And so we need revival in the land. We need a revival of a lot of things, but it would boil down simply to this. If we had a revival of people loving God's Word and spending time in God's Word, you know, that's why God would give his Word to a nation. He gave it to his people. He said he gave it to Moses, teach this to the people and tell them to teach it in their homes. He said, I'm giving my Word to a nation of people so all these people can be right and get along and do what it takes to be my people. And if the world today could just all somehow miraculously begin to love this Word, they would learn how to treat each other. They would learn how to forgive. They would learn long-suffering and peace. And they would learn that war doesn't profit anything, that violence and hate doesn't profit anything, but to be kind and tender-hearted, because Christ died for the sins of the entire world, and that they could all, but now, because there are different religions and peoples and sects and things and all this stuff, then they can't come together. There's just division in the world. But we know that if everybody could just love the Word and see what was in the Word, what a better place it would be. It would teach them not only about salvation, and you know, there's more things in the Scripture than just getting saved and being rapture ready. It's how to live in this present world. And it teaches us wonderful things. There's nothing like the way you feel when you know you can be kind to people. It's just a good feeling when you're merciful. That's why he would say, blessed are the merciful. And blessed are the meek. And he would talk about how people that do these things are blessed. And when you forgive, you're going to be blessed. And when you give, you're going to be blessed. And it's better to give than it is to receive. And there's a lot of things you learn that make you feel better just by doing it according to the Word. It's a good life living for God. It's the best life going. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes and help me to live this Word, trust this Word, teach this Word, believe this Word, be an example of this Word. Open my eyes so I can see what a wonderful life I really have. You know, there's a movie that comes on every year called It's a Wonderful Life, and this guy has to lose his life for him to see what a wonderful life he actually had. And I don't want that. I don't want to lose this life for me to realize what a great thing I had. So God, open my eyes to your Word. There are too many people today that just want to go their own way, want to do their own thing. That's how it is today. Live your life or speak your truth. Ain't that one of the things they say? Stuff like that. You know, and I get it. I get their things, their applications sometimes, what they're trying to say or promote. But too many people are just like, I'm going to do it my way. And I'm making that choice for me. I'm going to do it my way. Let me ask them, I'd like to ask them a question. Then why are you so miserable? You doing it your way, but how come it ain't working out? You doing it your way, but you mean as a snake. I mean, you're always upset. You're always sad. You're always depressed. You're always fighting somebody. You're always disappointed in something. Because that way, Proverbs, and twice in Proverbs 14 and 12, 16 and 25, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The backslider in heart, it says, is filled with his own ways. Every man's ways are right in his own eyes. I mean, that's just how it is with man. And he's saying, it seems. I don't want something that just seems right. I want what is right. This seems like the right thing to do. It ain't. It must not be. Because all the people I see that say, I'm going to do it my way, end up walking off, end up miserable, upset. The way of a transgressor is hard. Well, what's he transgressing that makes it so hard? God's Word. When we transgress God's Word, that's a hard road to hoe. It's going to be some tough ground. It's going to be hard on you if you do that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't come in and say, well, I'm just going to come in and enjoy the atmosphere, but I'm not going to live according to God's Word. That's instability. You'll never stand. Or I could just go to the parable that there was one man that he dug deep and built his house on a rock. And he said that, and when the winds and storms and flood and waters, all that came, his house stood. You know why? Because he said that foundation was like a man who not only hears the Word, but he does the Word. But the man that hears the Word only and does nothing with it, doesn't realize what a great blessing he's got. He's like a man who just built his house on the sand. When the storms came, the house fell, and great was the fall of that house. I want to make sure that I'm building on the solid rock. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What does that mean? The words that they brought. The words of the prophets, the words of the apostles, the doctrine. That's why in the book of Acts they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, they didn't write anything new. They simply gave revelation to what had already been written. If you read Peter's message in Acts chapter 2, there's nothing new there. He's not citing something that he came up with. He preaches from Joel. This is that that was already written by the prophet Joel. And then he referred to David and the different prophets. He was in what was he teaching? Christ. Jesus Christ, the Savior. This same Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. He was simply telling them things that they had heard forever and for ages and opening their eyes. And they couldn't see the wonderful word in front of them. When that child was born, that was Scripture. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. And they couldn't see that. When he was opening blinded eyes, Isaiah told them, this is how you'll know that your God is here. Isaiah 35, he said, when the blinded eyes are open, when deaf ears are unstopped and the lame begin to leap, he said, that's when your God will come to save you. And they missed it because it said he came unto his own and they knew him not. They didn't know him. They didn't know his word. And Jesus would tell them that. He said, you can't hear my words because you are of your father. If you were of God, you would hear me. My sheep know my voice. What's that mean? They know his word. And that's why they follow him through the valley of the shadow of death. They don't get stuck there. They follow him through because they realize that they've got a voice to follow. A voice. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. With what? With his word. I didn't hear someone yelling my name while I was in sin, but the word illuminated and shined on me and revealed to me, and it called me out of darkness. Repent called me out of darkness. Mercy was calling me out of darkness into his marvelous light, but it was his word. If God was silent, there'd be no heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There'd be no light. He said, let there be light. He said that. That's his word. His word, the creative power it has in our life, the life-giving power it has for us, we need to see it all the time and not get tired, not get burnt out, not get frustrated with his word, but realize that this word is for us. And I'm watching the clock, but in the scripture, there's one of the saddest portions of scripture to me, just reading it. It's just tragic, really. But so many people loved the miracles that Jesus was doing. But it was when he began to give them his word. In John chapter 6, he would begin to talk to them about him being the bread. And they would have to eat that body and drink that blood. And there was things he was saying to them. You know what? It's like, this is a hard saying. It was going in their ears. They couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't get it. But it was, he wasn't telling them anything that they shouldn't know. But they couldn't get it. And because they could not understand his word, it says in John 6:66, it said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Was it because he was mean to them? Was it because he ran them off? He simply told them what it would take to be saved. And they said, that's too hard. That's too narrow. That's too straight. But that word wondrous means difficult and hard to understand. And so he was giving them wondrous things out of his word, but their eyes were not open to see it. And so it says, from that time, they went back and they walked no more with him. They didn't just say, I'm going to take a week off. They just left it all together. Walked no more with him. It's dangerous to get upset at the word because it doesn't fit your lifestyle. The word is what it is, and the word is good for God's people, whether it is correcting us or encouraging us. Yeah? Yeah. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And sometimes he does have to correct us. But my goodness, I'd rather be corrected than be lost. And I sure would rather be corrected than walk away. Well, Jesus turns and looks at his 12 and says, will you also go away? Why would he ask them that? They're his 12 because he knows it doesn't matter how close you are to me. You can make a decision too. It's free will. So I'm asking you, will you also go away? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and we are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not going anywhere because we believe in who you are. And that's the answer that I want to have in my life, that when things get hard, Lord, where would I go? Because where would I go now? After all this time, after all I've watched you do, where would I go? How could I be happy anywhere? How could I be satisfied anywhere? How could I ever find the joy that you've given me or the peace that you give me? It's not available anywhere else. So where would I go? Or to who would I go? But when we leave the Word, we leave Him. When we get away from the Word, we get away from Him. So Psalmist said in 119 and 133, order my steps in thy Word. So as I walk through this life, let it be directed by the Word of God. That's where you're going to find the things that are great for you. Job, we talk about the patience of Job and the things that Job did, but he said this in 23 and 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. His word is my life. I will not go back. I'm not going to go back from the commandment of his lips. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to celebrate those commandments one day because they got me out of sin and then turn from them because I'm having a bad day. I'm not going to go back from the commandments because his words are more precious than the food I must have to live. Praise God. And if you can, whoever's coming to the music, you want to come on, we're about to run out of time here. And I'll run out of time. I'll finish here, right here in just 1 second. Psalm 119. 119 in verse 127, the psalmist said, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. In other words, anything, God, that you've got to say about it, it's right. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, it's what God says, it's right, and I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, does my soul keep them. I don't have to bargain with the world for the things I need. God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And these riches are found right here in this word. We either live by the word or we live by the world. I want to live by the word. I'm not going to pattern my life or my relationship or my identity after the world, but I want it to be after the word. The scripture says that man was created in his image, and he is the word. So I should resemble the word. My life should resemble the word. And you can stand with me and I'll finish right here. When Jesus was led into the wilderness and tempted, the enemy tempted him with, because of his hunger and his time of weakness, and would, hey, if you're hungry, turn these stones to bread. And that answer that Jesus gave was not one that he had never spoken before, because he spoke it to Moses. But he said, it is written, it's in the word, the forever settled word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There is nothing that I have to bargain for to try to satisfy something that's missing at that moment. Don't let a momentary craving cause you to forsake the eternal word. Jeremiah 15 and 16, he said, "Your words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts." We are called by his name. Thank God for it. So take time to, when you're wondering about things, can't figure out something, just spend some time in that word and say and pray like that. Lord, open my eyes.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.